connected to drug cartels remain unsolved. James Blears, Mexico.
Urban scientists and Paris foodies are getting excited about a bizarre discovery atop a hotel near the Eiffel Tower. The first ever wild truffle growing in the French capital. Truffles normally sprout only in limited areas. They're prized thousands of euros per kilogram of them. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, my name is Preston Sharp, and I believe we need to honor veterans every day and not just on a holiday. I have honored over 35,000 veterans with the flag and red carnation, and even cleaned the stones if they need to be cleaned. I started doing this Veterans Day 2015, right after my 10th birthday. I would like to wish all military and their families a happy holiday.
This Veterans Holiday Salute brought to you by Sheriff Tom Basenko, Supervisor Les Baugh, Redding Kia, and Veterans Diesel.
This is Lance Beck, President of North State Security. My father, Archie Beck, the founder of North State Security, was a World War II Navy veteran, a Purple Heart recipient, and a Pearl Harbor survivor. And his meaningful, patriotic soul has been a mainstay of our company since its inception in 1968. We here at North State Security are proud when we say that over 30% of our security officers are honorably discharged veterans. As we continue our spirit of being veteran-friendly, North State encourages all men and women with a military background to seek employment with us. Whether you be in your 20s or your 70s, we would like to serve you as you have served all of us. Come be a part of making our community a safer place by calling 243-0295. That's 243-0295. Or by visiting us at 1970 Hartnell or on Facebook by searching NS Secure.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. We'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas from all of us at KCNR 1460 to your family. Without you all, we wouldn't be starting our ninth year in the business, and we so much appreciate everything that you all have done for us. Please, remember our military and first responders that are out there on this blessed day. Again, Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful day. And remember, we'll be back with you Tuesday, December the 26th.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice fills the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul. In your soul. In your soul. The loggers and the cowboys, double cross fire, sack and sit-up. They cursed rough roads, hauling their load, but they did their best to deliver them. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. In your soul, in your soul, in your soul.
All right, good morning, Jeffersonians. This is your fill-in host again, Chris Kellstrom. I'm down here filling in for Terry and Wynn. They are out of town enjoying the holidays. And I'm here with my trusty sidekick, Slim Shady, the original.
That's me.
That is Nick Gardner. And also, of course, our trusty companion, Bob Martin, who's keeping us out of trouble and keeping us going in the straight and narrow. Thank you, Bob.
Well, you are more than welcome, gentlemen. Thank you. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And
Likewise to our regular hosts, Wynn and Terry. Again, they're away for the next couple of weekends. So thank you, guys, once again for filling in for us, for them. You did an outstanding job last time.
Hey, you know, Bob, speaking of Merry Christmas, I'd like to do a little rhyme that Jerry Brown sent out. On the 10th day of Christmas, Jerry Brown, he said to me, give me all your money. I don't give a damn. I already got it spent. You're just a little shrimp, and I need some help with the rest of the song. Thank you.
You need some help, all right, Nick.
My wife's getting a break. I'm out of the house for an hour. At last, a little rest.
So we had 9 more days to go there.
Yeah, this is Jerry Brown, the gift that keeps on giving. No question about that. So, yeah, I came across an article the other day. It was kind of funny. One of my friends posted, and it ended up being satire, which that's the funny thing about Jerry Brown. He does so many crazy things. California does so many ridiculous things. You can't tell when something's satire or not. And it was an article that said, you know, he's passing a law about everybody's going to be handcuffed in the front now, no longer be handcuffed in the back. And so, of course, my friend was just thinking, oh, this is so stupid. So he posts it, and I comment on it, and I repost it, and then I start reading the comments on his page saying, you know, this is satire. You didn't read the whole thing. And, you know, I go back. So I deleted my post, but I'm thinking, well, you know, that's the thing about California. You can't tell when it's satire or not. It seems like the whole state is satire. Everything they do is satire. So how do you know what's fake and what's real? It's, you know.
You know, I did the same thing, and I read on The Onion where Joe Biden, early in Barack Obama's presidency, said he didn't have much to say about gun control, but now would be a good time to go buy a shotgun. So I set that out, and everybody took it serious. And, you know, I never did deny it. You know, speaking of gun control, I'm getting to be a believer in gun control. I've got a little piece here out of the NRA magazine. And here's just a couple clips off of different Protect Yourself as an Armed Citizen. When the bad guy saw the gun, he jumped and he ran out to the car and fled on foot. Here's another one. When the outsider proceeded to break the glass on the first floor window and reached to unlock the door, the older man fired several rounds, possibly grazing the bad guy. Now, we need some gun control, because if you can't hit him and kill him, you know, that's my idea of gun control, being able to hit what you shoot.
Yeah, I just got a thing, a messenger today from one of our patriots up in Modoc County, Douglas Knox. I don't know if he's listening or not, but he sent me an article on how well the gun control is doing in Australia and how they had the huge gun ban and they fought back 800,000 weapons and destroyed them and this and that and spent $500 million or some ridiculous thing. And, you know, you're not going to believe it, Nick, but homicides with firearms are up in Australia, and armed robberies are up about 44%, because apparently the honest citizens of Australia went ahead and turned in their guns because they had to comply with the law, just like, you know, we've turned in our magazines that are over 10 rounds, and, you know, we can't buy all the stuff, semi-automatic weapons that are black with scary features on them, and, you know, so in Australia, the honest folks turn in their guns, but, you know, lo and behold, the criminals didn't. So now the criminals have nothing but unarmed people to rob. Shocker.
You know what they might not have taken into consideration is the criminals probably didn't pay attention in school and they didn't learn how to read. They might not even be able to turn in the radio, to tune in the radio to find out what the new laws are.
They probably
just don't know. Let me read you another piece out of the NRA magazine. Studies indicate that firearms are used more than 2 million times a year for personal protection, and that the presence of a firearm without a shot being fired prevents crime in many instances. That's why I would be in favor of, as far as I'm concerned, open carry would be good in Jefferson.
Oh, absolutely, open carry, and, you know, yeah, the waiting period. I mean, I know in Idaho, a good friend of mine is a detective back there, and in Idaho, if you have a concealed weapons permit holder, you just walk into a gun shop and hand them the money and pick up the gun and walk out the door. It takes you a minute to show them your concealed weapons. They know you've already passed a background check. They know you've already complied with the laws. They know you're a law-abiding citizen. That concealed weapons permit is all you need. That is your background check. That is your waiting period. Now, he's a detective, so he doesn't have one, of course, because he's a police detective. So it says it takes him about 2 minutes longer to buy a firearm because they have to call the police station to make sure he's still in good standing. So it takes him about 2 minutes to buy a gun. Anybody with a CCW permit, it takes him, you know, 30 seconds.
I'm wondering what the waiting period is. In California, is that when they start breaking in, you tell them to wait, you're going to go get your gun?
Well, and then you're going to have to ask them to wait 10 days, because if you don't have a gun, it's going to take you at least 10 days to pass the background check.
Do you have to stay there and feed them? Is it going to be cruel and unusual punishment if they can't go to the bathroom while they're waiting?
I'm not sure exactly how it works, but I know that if you better already have a gun, because otherwise it's going to be 10 days. And then after that 10 days, you can only buy certain guns, and don't get any of the scary ones either. So, hey, speaking of guns, I want to bring up, we are having a fundraiser for Jefferson State, and I say guns because we will have several guns there as raffle items and auction items. This is February 17th at the VFW Hall in Anderson. We had one back there in June. I'd promised everybody that we'd have at least 12 guns there. We ended up with 14 by the end of the dinner. So this time I have to one-up myself every time, so we will have at least 15 guns there, we will have the banquet gun. I have not had it engraved yet, but I'm going to do a Joe Biden special. You mentioned him earlier, so
there you go.
Yeah, we're going to do a double-barrel coach gun, and we will engrave it with the state of Jefferson on one side of the stock, and probably a Don't Tread on Me Gadsden flag on the other side, something like that. It's going to be pretty cool, so... make sure, mark on your calendar February 17th. We are currently selling tables. We're not selling individual tickets. We're selling tables. We need to get those going. So I could use some help there. So any of you out there in Jefferson, I'm needing some help selling some tables. I need some help getting some raffle items. We need to get this thing going. It's the holidays. It's a bad time to be out and about and going all that, but the holidays will be over here soon, and then we will have a month and a half, and the dinner is here. So,
when it comes to selling those tables, I read an article in Joyful Living. That's the Bethel little quarterly magazine they put out. They have some wonderful articles in there, and some of them aren't so wonderful. But this one was about the difference between being rich and wealthy. And, when you're rich, you're making money, you're spending it, you're letting everybody know you have it. When you're wealthy, you're making money, but you're leaving a legacy. And this would be some kind of a legacy to leave, that you bought a ticket, a table,
absolutely,
to the movement that made a state the stepping stone to taking America back again, to making America great, that you were in on the ground floor.
And think about what that engraved gun would mean to your grandchildren when they're like, hey, I got this gun passed down to my grandfather that won this gun at a Jefferson State dinner before Jefferson even became a state. He helped Jefferson become a state. He donated money or bought the raffle tickets and won this gun, and isn't this cool? This thing's dated a year or 2 years before Jefferson even became a state. Hey, we got a couple callers on the line. Looks like both lines are tied up, so should we get to them, Bob, or take a break? Want to go ahead and get to the callers?
Let's get the callers first.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got Round Mountain Bob on line one, and Jimmy will be right with you in just a second. Go ahead, Bob.
Yes, and Nick and Bob, I'd like first to start out and wish you a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Bob.
But, I don't understand why you guys sit around here and rip the state of California. Because I'm going to give you a list about how great California is.
Okay, we have a minute, so that should be a pretty short list. I don't think it'll take you too long, Bob. Go ahead, start.
The weather is better in this state than any in the Union.
But when we get the state of Jefferson, we'll have the same weather, Bob. We're not trying to take the weather away from them.
Oh, doggone it.
Next point, Bob.
That was the last of my list, because I grew up here. I've been here 70-some years, and all I've ever seen the state do is go down the tube.
Well, we've got beautiful mountains, and we've got oceans and deserts and conifers and redwood forests. We have some beautiful stuff, but we actually had to point that out to somebody at one of our Jefferson town halls, that we will still have all that stuff in Jefferson.
Hey,
it doesn't
leave. We've got the highest taxes.
That'll probably go away.
Everything. I could give you a good list of all the other things.
Yeah, those will go away, but we will still have the mountains and valleys and...
All right, guys, let's get us Jefferson, will you?
All right, Bob, Merry Christmas to you.
You're doing a great job filling in. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Jimmy, are you there?
Jimmy, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, correct me if I'm wrong. Now, beginning of the year, we're going to have the ammo registration fees kicking in. Is that correct?
It is not going to be at the beginning of this next year, 2018. It'll be 2019. Now, 2018, you will no longer be able to buy the ammo through mail order. So you're not going to be able to order ammo from Midway or Cabela's or any of those other sites. You will only be able to do a face-to-face transaction. So you'll have to go into Walmart, have to go into the gun shop. You can still go to a gun show, but it has to be a face-to-face transfer in 2018. Now, 2019 is when they want to kick off their registration, where you get the card, and each gun dealer is going to have to register the ammo they have and sell them to you. And I was just in the gun shop last Wednesday, and you know, they're already talking about, well, first there was going to be a $50 a year, and you buy the background card, and once you get that, you unlimited purchase $50 a year. And then it was going to be, well, it might be $1 per box of shells after that. Well, then it might be $5. Well, last they heard, it may be the same background check that you do to buy a firearm. So when you buy a firearm, you know, it costs you $25-$35 to do the DROS fees for every firearm you purchase. Well, the latest is they're threatening or talking about possibly having that every time you buy a box of shotgun shells. So,
right, and I know you guys are pressed for time, but real quick, this is how convoluted and stupid the gun laws are here in California. My son's in the Air Force. He's lived all over the world. He's stationed in Texas. I went there 2 years ago, and he went into Walmart to buy a shotgun. And technically, he never transferred his residency. So technically, he was still a California resident, even though he's lived all over the world for the last 10 years or 8 years. They said, no, we will not sell you a shotgun because you are a California resident, and the two states we will not sell to are Connecticut and California.
Yeah. Yep, you can go, and I was talking about the Idaho earlier where there's, you know, no waiting periods or anything else. You have CCW. Well, the CCW, if you have a carry one in Idaho, of course, you can buy them across the counter, you know, the firearms. But if you are a state touching Idaho, so Washington and Montana, you can also use those CCWs from the touching states to buy one. And, you know, Nevada's pretty lenient on their gun laws, and same thing. They will not sell to anybody from California.
Yeah, my uncle just came out here from Georgia, and this is from what he told me. He said it's harder to get a CCW permit in Georgia than it is to get an open carry.
Yeah. and I mean, open carry, I don't even know why they say open carry. That's bearing arms. I don't even understand the wording there. There should be no open carry. That is called infringement of right to bear arms. So
okay, and one more quick little ditty, and then I'll let you go. Is it true that in the gas tax bill that Jerry Brown did, in the fine print, it says that gas tax money can be used for railways, too?
Yeah,
check it out.
So, yeah, something I saw.
Bullet train, buddy.
Almost nothing goes to roads. You know, they claim that it's going to go to roads. Almost nothing goes to roads.
All right, well, I'll let you guys go. You guys are doing a great job, as you did last time, and I'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks, Jimmy. Have a Merry Christmas.
You too, buddy. Bye.
You know, I talked to Bruce Ross about some of the new things that were coming in, and the way I understood him to explain it to me is 25% of that gas tax was going to go to the general fund. And another 25% was going to go someplace else. I don't recall whether it was the bullet train or whatever it may have been.
Yeah, I heard a large portion of it was going to go to, like, the bullet train and the roundabouts and the bike paths and all that, you know, Agenda 21 stuff that they want to get into high-density populations. So, you know, look forward to some more roundabouts and bike paths. Can't hardly wait. That'll be great. Make my life a lot easier. How about yours, Nick?
Well, you know, I'm thinking about the parking downtown when they get all these new developments going, and it looks to me like we're all going to be riding bicycles anyway, so we won't need so much parking downtown.
Yep. Hey, Bob, are we going to go to break? Is that what we need to do?
That would be a good idea at this point.
I don't know. We're kind of on a roll here.
All right. We're going to go to break, and the time has come for 51.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
Hey music lovers, Nathan Parmalee here, talent buyer for the Reading Civic Auditorium. We have tons of incredible shows lined up with entertainment for everybody. Old Dominion is coming back to the Reading Civic on February 15th. The last show was a sellout. Then we'll have Broadway's A Night with Janis Joplin, followed by the rhythm sensation Stomp. In March, the cast of Dancing with the Stars Live will light up the Reading Civic. Plus, we'll hear music from the Ten Tenors, get dog whispering tips from Cesar Millan himself, spend the evening with the legendary Bonnie Raitt, and see Amazing Grace the musical tell the story of the famous song. Comedian Kathleen Madigan will bring her Boxed Wine and Bigfoot tour in April, and we'll kick off another great Reading Civic summer with country star Josh Turner and singing sensation Jackie Evancho. Get the best seats to these shows and more to come at ReadingCivic.com. 2017 was huge, and 2018 is going to be even bigger. Don't miss out on upcoming show announcements and pre-sale access. Sign up for our email notifications at ReadingCivic.com. And remember, tickets make great gifts, plus they're easy to wrap. See you soon at the Reading Civic Auditorium.
I think one great benefit to having a Turtle Bay membership, I love that it's one place we can go to and bring our family, and there's something for everybody. There's activities for our one-year-old to do, and there's also exhibits and things for our six-year-old to do, and it's just a good variety of things for all ages.
We're members of Turtle Bay because I think education is really important, and I think kids need to learn that they can learn out of the classroom and learn in real life, and I think Turtle Bay brings that experience to them as they can see things that they see out and about outside of school and learn something.
Hi, this is Shasta County Sheriff Tom Basenko. I appreciate and respect the service and sacrifice of the dedicated men and women of our armed forces. You have made and continue to make sacrifices each and every day for our great nation and those who reside in it. From the bottom of my heart and on behalf of the men and women of the Shasta County Sheriff's Office, we thank you. During the holiday season, I wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a joyful New Year. May God bless you and keep you safe.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Jeffersonians, welcome back. Hey, a little bit of housekeeping real quick, just so you know, our normal Monday night meetings, Jefferson meetings at 5:30 and Patriot meeting at 6, that's usually at 3276 Pacelli Lane, will not be there tomorrow night, of course, because it's Christmas, and the following week is New Year's, so we will not have a meeting for the next 2 weeks. So currently we have two phone lines open, if you guys would like to call. It's 530-605-4567. Again, that's 605-4567. Both lines are open. You can call in, and I think Nick will tell you what he wants to hear from you.
We are soliciting comments on what you like about California. Give us a call. Maybe it's you like the taxes. Maybe you like the environmental policies. Maybe you like the way they've run our fishing game. But we want to know your opinions. You know, the good things we can keep, but you need to bring them to our attention.
You know, Jimmy was talking about the gun laws a minute ago and background checks on ammunition and stuff. Well, again, that doesn't go in, the background check doesn't go into effect until 2019. But now think about this. When this does go into effect, if you're out there hunting with your grandson or granddaughter or daughter or niece or nephew, whoever, your best friend, your best hunting buddy in the world, and you guys are out there and, you know, maybe your buddy doesn't shoot quite as well as you do and he runs out of shells, you can't say, here's a couple of mine. You can go, here, grab some of mine. No, you either have to go back and get your own shells from the pickup or drive you know, leave hunting and drive back to Walmart so you can buy some. So, you know, these stupid laws have consequences that are just absolutely ridiculous. And obviously, you know, they have good intentions, I guess you could say. But, you know, it seems like there's a road somewhere that's paved with good intentions. Not sure where it was. All right, we look like we have Gary Holohan on the phone.
Before he speaks up, I'd like to say something. You know, when you look at the laws of supply and demand, I expect the price of ammunition to go down because everybody I know stocked up enough to last them 10, 12, 15 years, you know. Sales are going to go down.
Yeah, but there's 49 other states that I think will keep the rest of the manufacturers in the thing. So Gary is going to call in. We only have a half an hour left, Gary, so you can only, you know, say how many things you love about California. But go ahead, Gary. Let us know.
Good morning. Well, I'm in a very unique position. I'm a retired teacher, and my former students, a lot of them I'm still in contact with, are priceless, and they are what is great about California. For instance, one of my former students did a knee replacement on me. Now, if he didn't like me, he certainly could have,
put it on backwards.
Yeah, right. former students are nurses and medical assistants. And one was on the OR team when I had a minor surgery and came down, said hello to me before, as I was being prepped, and tell me she'd take great care of me while in the OR room. So, naturally, that happened. Physical therapist, a former student's a minister. I have former students in city government, one on the city council, some in county government, and two that I know of with the CHP. Another is former Coast Guard. Seven teachers that I know of, finance and banking, massage therapist as a former student, keeps my daughter and me walking, dental assistants, and I could go on and on. Six former students are at Costco, and communications. And I'll end it up. I have two that I know went to Top Gun. One is was a naval ship captain, and one in NASCAR. So, you know, with variety like that, obviously my teaching was not a job; it was an adventure. When you have all those brains in front of you. And we had fun.
Yeah, you sound like you have some great students and ended up being great people. Of course, they will still be great people in Jefferson, no question about it. Now, let me ask you something, Gary, since we got you on the line and we're talking about teaching and students. And you know, you were one of those good teachers. There's a lot of good teachers out there. There's several great teachers out there, and there's a few exceptional teachers out there. And fortunately, my kids have had all of them, but, you know, there's nothing like an exceptional teacher, I tell you. And with that being said, you know, the teachers union is pretty powerful in California, and they control a lot of stuff. Now, the great thing is, you know, as a great teacher yourself, do you feel that if the union was a little weaker, that you would have done just as good a job and been able to hold on to your job and do everything that you did and teach the way that you did? Or do you think it was them that created your whole career?
Well, the way you phrased it, I was part of a class action lawsuit against the union. In the 80s, and it was resolved. It had to do about the union dues, and if you didn't want to be a part of the union, all the good teachers that I see were naturally good, not because of the union. The union and John Q. Public doesn't understand it, but schools could be much better if it wasn't for the union. And I know that's a terrible thing to say, but it happens to be the truth. I never paid any attention to the union and such, and I had the students behind me and the reputation in the classroom that we did such a great job. And there are a lot of teachers, especially K through 4, that are exceptional teachers. As you mentioned, and you were talking about a couple of weeks ago to me about your daughter's history teacher and doing an exceptional job. And that's where it is. It's the individual. I see nothing good but the teachers union, and I know the state of Jefferson, and talking to some of those on the Constitution Committee, that there will not be a teachers union in Jefferson, because we want our education to be in the top five where California used to be, and it's because of the unions that California is down at the bottom.
Hey, Gary, you mentioned the individual teachers. I believe you taught English. Let me tell you about my English class in high school. There was 27 of us. 14 are on welfare, 12 are in prison, and one is a budding radio announcer.
I'm going to question those facts quite a bit, actually.
Hey, I've got something for you. You mentioned that California was number five in all categories in 1965, and now we're last place in everything. This morning I Googled 8th grade final exit exam, 1895, and Salama, Kansas City came up. Here's just a couple questions on there. Find the interest of $512.60 for 8 months and 18 days at 7%. These kids had to know that to get out of eighth grade. Find the cost of a square farm at $15 per acre, the distance around which is 640 rods. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find some college kids that could answer those questions now.
I agree with that. You are right. And when I, after I retired, I helped bail the district out, and I went back to the classroom for 35 days. And those students that had me as a freshman were then juniors, and so we cooperated and got along fine. And I created what I call the dumb test. And I don't know why I didn't do it sooner. But anyway, long story short, it was common sense. And part of it was oral, and some of it was I gave it to them orally, and other was written. And some of it was just what you mentioned. Most of the – and these were juniors. A lot of them were driving. Most of them could not figure out miles per gallon. Other ones, I gave them the problem. They bought a shirt for so much. You had so much money, and how much did it cost, et cetera. Most of them could not do that because they didn't know what the sales tax was, et cetera. So it goes on and on and on. So, there's a lot to be said about education as far as common sense. And I think we may be headed back to common sense that learning the trades and something to do with industry, et cetera, may be coming back, because, you know, it was scorned, would be sitting behind a computer with a shirt and tie. And now that's not so much the case.
Well, Gary, what do you think when they started putting all the kids together? You've got your very intelligent kids that are obviously going to go on to college, and you've got those in the middle that are pretty intelligent, and maybe some will be in trades and some won't. And then you've got yours that just, you know, don't have the intelligence to go to college, but they'll be good tradesmen. And it seems like California had to stick them all together, and it just doesn't seem like it works. Do you think they should be separated?
I like the tracking, because of what you said. But some teachers, because of the tracking, insulted the students and didn't have any confidence in what those students could do, because, well, they were tracked in that class, or they were just so-so. And that was the fault of the teachers preconceived notions and not challenging all the students. And I'll be quite frank with you. I had seniors my last 3 years at Foothill, and I had the seniors that just had one heck of a bad time in school, and most of them were boys. And I treated them just like any time we just talked on their level, and then we went someplace, and most of them gave me better answers, common sense answers, than an honors class, because they could figure out things. The only problem was that school never allowed them to figure it out, because school wants the answer in 1 second or less, instead of giving them a couple minutes to figure it out.
And you know, a lot of them kids just need somebody to talk to them.
It doesn't
matter what you talk about. They just need somebody.
Wrong preposition. Not talk to them. Talk with them.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Because it's back and forth, and talking in terms that they understand, and then you start with the base, and then you go to higher levels. And it was very interesting. In fact, one of my students, and he's probably still around, he'd been bar fighting since he was 10 years old. And he's a timber faller, and he's built like a tank.
He must have had a good fake ID.
I think it was, yeah. And he was fine in class, and he did fine because the rules were simple. Be in your seat and be on time. And he worked fine. I think his reading level was about fourth or fifth grade, but he made great contributions to the class. And if I needed a little bit of strong arm in those days, he was my man.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's just you got to, you know, find a kid that's interested. I mean, you might have a kid that's plenty bright enough, but, you know, he's not interested in English. He doesn't really like math. History bores him, whatever. But, you know, you put the kid in a shop class, and he's Michelangelo with a cutting torch, you know. I mean, he's just, but we've done away with shop classes. We don't have shop classes now. We've done away with a lot of the music programs. I know my daughter was in music in Cottonwood, and, you know, the teacher was great, but she was new. So, of course, budget cuts come along, and that's the first one to go. But, you know, it's just sad to see that the trades are gone, and, you know, a lot of things are there for the kids that just, you know, school isn't their thing. They're not into reading the books and doing the tests and, you know, but they have talents, they have abilities, they have things that can be harnessed, and, you know, unfortunately we've gone away from a lot of that.
I agree.
So we're going to make Gary Hallahan the guru of education in Jefferson. I hope. I think
well,
you'd do a wonderful job.
He would be a good man for it.
I thank you. Janet Gallagher has done a fantastic job on that education committee and such. And I would like to be involved in the schools. You can tell in 15 minutes if something is happening between the teacher and the students, and if there's learning. It doesn't take a long time. You know what's going on.
Yeah, and there's another exceptional teacher, Janet Chandler. What a great woman and a great teacher she was. Yeah, she's awesome. You guys are both great.
Yes. So, all right, well, you guys, I know you'll do a great job. Your show is great. I like the flavor, and you have your own. The two of you work very well together, and you have your own personality. It's not a State of Jefferson redo. It's your show, and keep up the good work, and I've been looking forward to more of it.
All right, Gary. Good to hear from you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Take care.
All right, you too. Okay, looks like we still have open lines, so 605-4567. People should be piling on trying to tell us what they like about California, or maybe that's the reason the lines are dead. So
let me go on and tell you why I haven't had a Merry Christmas for, what, about 60 years now. When I was in third grade, I figured out that it didn't make a lot of sense to behave 364 years on the offhand chance some fat guy in a red suit was going to slide down the chimney and leave you school clothes from Kmart. I mean, you know, socks and underwear for Christmas? Come on.
Yeah, well, Nick, how much coal did you get when you were a kid? I bet you got quite a bit.
Well, until they figured out I didn't have to split firewood, and it made it easy on me.
Yep. Tomorrow's Christmas, folks, so hopefully we'll enjoy some time with the family. And I want to give a shout-out. I had some time with another family yesterday. I went over to my neighbor, Mike and Imelda Carlton, and we made tamales. They let me on their secret family tradition, so... neighbor Mike always makes, they make tamales every year, and they bring over a big bag of them, and oh my gosh, they're so good. So delicious. So I've always wanted to learn how to make them. So yesterday, they adopted me in for the day, and I went and we made tamales, and they had worked on it the night before, but that day we spread the masa and did the whole bit, and it was fantastic, and what a great time. So thank you to Mike and Imelda. That was awesome. What'd you do yesterday, Nick?
Well, you know, I delivered a couple smoked hams. I always smoke a ham for a big family. In the family, you know, when you've got a wife and father with maybe seven kids, how do you buy for each one of them? So I go buy a ham and I smoke it. And they usually come out very well, and that's for the whole family.
Nice.
And that makes it easy.
Cool.
And yesterday I burnt leaves.
Burnt leaves.
Yeah, I had to clean up around the house.
I was just thinking that. You smoked the ham. I don't know if that's illegal in California anymore.
Oh, boy.
I'm sure the burning the leaves aren't.
Well, thankfully, I live in the county and not the city.
Yeah, every year I get a burn permit from the Cottonwood Fire Department. I'm kind of surprised every year they give me one because it's like, obviously, you don't know who I am. But they continue to give them to me, so that's the most fun you can have for $7 or whatever it is now.
You know, they came down one time and got on me for burning. I had a pretty good pile going, and I just told them, I says, you know, there were some people down here, some of our brothers and sisters that don't have a home. And they had this fire going out there. It's a warming fire. I'm just out here controlling it. In fact, I was told that I could be compensated for my firefighting abilities here.
Nice.
We'll call it urban fire breaks by Nick.
There you go. So are we going to go to a break, Bob?
It is break time.
All right. Go ahead and call in 605-4567. Time has come for 51.
Trying to get you some holiday music here.
There we go.
Supervisor Trish Clark. Thank you just doesn't seem to be a big enough statement to adequately show our veterans how grateful we are for their service. The freedom and lifestyle we enjoy as Americans has been made possible by the service and sacrifice of all of our veterans and their families. Thank you to all of you from the bottom of my heart. I wish all of our veterans a Merry Christmas and a happy, holy, and prosperous New Year.
This salute brought to you by the McConnell Foundation and Reading Civic Auditorium.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Merry Christmas from all of us at True Life Church. We pray that you have a wonderful celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. This is a great country that from the beginning was established with freedom of religion, of freedom to worship God as you choose. We are also thankful for the Constitution and its rule of law, and a hearty thanks to the people who were and are willing to give their life and live their life to make and keep this country free. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Jingle bells, shotgun shells, boots and hats and hay. Bust a bronc and rope a steer, it's Cowboys Christmas Day. Jingle bells, shotgun shells, boots and hats and hay. Sing around the campfire, it's Cowboys Holiday. There's Texas moon above, my cowgirl by my side. We are so in love, let's take a Christmas ride. Jingle bells, happy trails, yippee-yo-ki-yay. Sing around the campfire, it's Cowboy Holiday.
All right, there's some Christmas music. Sounds like a Cottonwood Country Christmas to me right there. That's what we'll be having later on tonight and tomorrow. So I think we're going to talk a little bit about Lavoie Finicum and the Bundys and the situation going on over in Nevada and Oregon. But in the meantime, we're going to go to Matt from Reading. He's on line one, so let's get to Matt first. Matt, are you there?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Merry Christmas to you guys and everybody in Jefferson. I just want to say to the people of Jefferson, be the voice to make Jefferson happen. Give yourself liberty in 2018. Yep. This is what it's really about, is the freedom to do what we need to do. And the more the government of California rejects the will of the people in this area, the more people are willing to hear our message and embrace the cause. But we have to make the fight. We have to take the fight to our enemy, which is those that are trying to use the government to suppress us.
Yep, and we got to get people awake. You're absolutely right, Matt. I mean, it's where's your line in the sand? Let's you know, you're filling up at the gas pump. Does it bother you? You're paying a dollar a gallon more than anybody else in the United States. Does that ever cross your mind that that's kind of a problem? I mean, you're right. The government is suppressing us. We are looking for freedom. You know, freedom has a and liberty has a funny way of finding the light. They find the light, they get out, they try to squash it, they try to quench it, but by golly, it always finds its way through.
We need to be free thinkers. We need to be free thinkers.
I just want to interject this. I'm sorry, Nick.
Oh, don't be.
I just want to interject this. We're not the minority. We are the majority. It's through the manipulation of the media and the propaganda that they're pushing to subject that we're the minority. That's the whole across the country. If you look at what's going on, people are rejecting this authoritarian government on every level,
yep.
And it's all through the manipulation of the media.
You're absolutely right.
And for those that want to scream about Trump and Russia, you might actually have some credibility if Hillary Clinton was being prosecuted right now. Beyond that, it's demonstrating you're actively trying to overthrow the Constitution and the duly elected president. You guys have a Merry Christmas. I'll listen to the rest of the
show. All right, you too, Matt. Good to hear from you.
Hey, Matt, very well put. I couldn't agree with you more. They don't like free thinkers.
Okay, we've got another caller on the line, and you might know this person. It's Signe. So she's probably going to call straighten you out, Nick.
Let me tell you something about Signe. She's got really, really good taste in men. Go ahead, Signe.
Yeah, that was one of my top compliments to the state of California for all the few available, handsome, smart, intelligent men that are living up here who I happen to meet one. Hey, and the other thing is I am thankful about California, the way they so greatly expose, they are exposing and continue to expose their greed and corruption and evil ways. And so the great people of the northern state of California can just see this, and it makes us shine with common sense, integrity, brilliance, hardworking, God-fearing people, many of them. So the contrast is so easy to see. I mean, look at the results of what California has done. So that makes us shine brighter, and people will see that, and they will come in line with our movement. And we are based on God-fearing laws.
Yep, and constitutionality.
And constitutionality, exactly. Very much like our founding fathers
Absolutely.
Had to go through. So that's what I have to say thank you to old California for.
All right. Merry Christmas, Signe. Good
Merry
to hear from
Christmas.
You.
All right. Bye-bye.
You know, something Matt touched on earlier, and we've only got a few minutes left, so I'm sure Sovereign Minds will get into this in much more detail, but you know, the media, the way they manipulate things. And, you know, we're talking about finding freedom and what's going on with the Bundys right now. You know, guys, this is a big swamp out there that's being drained, and it's starting to trickle out and all sorts of things. But for those of you who don't know about the Bundys basically were being overrun by the federal government down in Bunkerville in Nevada. And basically the BLM was trying to take their ranch, a whole bunch of Harry Reid stuff and solar plants and all sorts of stuff. Anyhow, their rights were being trampled on. They stood up for themselves. Immediately they were called, armed and armed right wing and all these other horrible things. They won that battle there, and then there's some other ranchers up in Oregon, the Hammonds, who are still in federal prison, mind you, who had already served time and then got resentenced over crimes they weren't found guilty of, but they're sitting in prison. So the Bundys went up there to protest the federal government there and their overreach and putting these guys in prison when they didn't belong there. And anyways, they ended up all getting round up, got charged with all sorts of crimes, and I mean the horrible things that have been done to them. They've been thrown in solitary confinement. They've had their rights taken away from them. They weren't able to get defense documents. I mean, just all sorts of stuff. Well, all of a sudden, here about 2 weeks ago, this has been going on now for 2 years. They've been locked up, and about 2 weeks ago, a whistleblower came out, and it got out that all of a sudden there you got people in the Bundy trial that are really covering themselves because the swamp looks like it's draining. There's some stuff coming out with the BLM having kill books, which they did kill one of the guys. Lavoy Finicum was murdered. They came out that they were, you know, the media to this day still calls them armed occupiers or armed right-wing terrorists, and the vast majority of the Bundys never were armed. Some of the people that came there to stand up for the Constitution were. But the Bundys themselves, I think Ryan Bundy was the only one that ever had a sidearm. So anyhow, there's some stuff going on. The greatest news that I heard over the week was the prosecuting attorney in the case just hired a lawyer. So it's not looking good for him.
Oh, boy, I hadn't heard that.
Yes.
Know, and what happened to due process?
Two years
in jail. And you know, they haven't really come up with anything.
Mistrial after mistrial, and they just keep bringing them up and retrying them. And you know, when you listen to the media, just like Matt mentioned, when you listen to the media, I mean, if you're on these guys' side, you must be some wacko right-wing, far-right conservative, you know, gun-toting weirdo that supports these guys when all they were doing was stand up for the Constitution.
And look at the Harmons up there in Harney County.
Yeah, those are the ones that are still locked up in prison right now.
Sins twice for the same crime.
The day after Lavoy Finicum was murdered, and I say murdered because he was straight up murdered between the FBI and the BLM, and the FBI was behind his assassination. the next day I was in driving in Alturas, and the little local radio station up there, of course, they're just reading the notes off NPR, and their blurb was, you know, armed occupier Lavoie Finicum committed suicide by cop. He reached for a gun and he was shot.
Oh,
and I'm
my
like,
goodness.
I almost drove the truck off the road. I could hardly keep it on the road because it was just like, are you kidding me? This man was murdered in cold blood. But again, you know, we had a little rally down there on Bocelli Lane in front of the federal courthouse protesting this, you know, the murder of an American citizen that never committed a crime in his life, never even had a speeding ticket, and he was murdered. So we had people drive by and go, oh, yeah, I heard about that. Well, what'd you hear? You heard what the media wanted you to hear.
I think Bob's trying to give us a message.
I think he is.
He's saying, we'll be back next week.
I have a message for you, Nick. The time has come.
For 51.
All right, Jeffersonians, thank you.
Peace, love, and waterbeds.
All right, gentlemen, great job. Stay tuned. We will have a live Sovereign Minds coming your way.
Chris, that was fun again.
Next, here on KCNR, Shasta Redding, right after the news.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. A federal judge in Seattle partially lifted a Trump administration ban on certain refugees from some mostly Muslim countries yesterday.
After hearing arguments Thursday from the American Civil Liberties Union and Jewish Family Services, who say the ban causes irreparable harm and puts some people at risk, U.S. District Judge James Robart ordered the federal government to process certain refugee applications, but said his directive did not apply to people without a bona fide relationship to a person.